This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Speakers, publishers, consultants, coaches, and info marketers unite. The Speaking of Wealth Show is your roadmap to success and significance. Learn the latest tools, technologies, and tactics to get more bookings, sell more products, and attract more clients. If you're looking to increase your direct response sales, create a big-time personal brand, and become the go-to guru, the Speaking of Wealth Show is for you. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome Jason Troy to the show. He is the author of Social Wealth, How to Build Extraordinary Relationships by Transforming the Way We Live, Love, Lead, and Network. Jason, welcome. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, our pleasure. So give us a sense of geography. Where are you located?
I am in beautiful Dallas, Texas. It's like 80 degrees today. So
fantastic. Good stuff. I've thought about moving to the Big D from time to time over the years. But hey, let's dive into the book. You know, social capital. This is a very important thing in life. It might be the most important thing because, you know, we can influence people. We can get a favor once in a while, get a connection, open a door, you know, form a new relationship. So important. Tell us the basic concept of social wealth. Of course, you know, this topic, generally speaking, has been written on throughout the ages. But what's your take?
I think the key for success in life is that you need to leverage other people's assets, meaning their connections and themselves as well, to really open doors for you and to make the world just a lot easier place to navigate and be successful in. Because, I mean, no one does it all alone. And if you don't have a robust network of people that you're interacting with, you will reach crisis points in your life. And then the problem comes is you don't have anyone to really help you. Because you don't have relationships that you built, you've put money in the bank in them, so you really don't have that to leverage when crisis hits, and also just to help you build a business in your career.
Right, right. And crisis will definitely hit at times. But, you know, what are really some of the fundamental things that you teach? I mean, is it be a nice guy, get out there and go to networking events and meet people? Tell us about some of the things you talk about, like the social wealth GPS. And I think that's a really good concept, and social leadership. Let's just kind of dive in deep to that.
Well, I think part of it first is that you've got to be in the right rooms, right? And I think that's a critical place is, are you meeting the right people, right? And what are your goals? And I think if you can figure out that, then that will help immensely, right? Because a challenge could be, let's say you are trying to find new opportunities in your career, right? Maybe you're not desperate for one today, but are looking for one maybe over the next year, year and a half. Well, if you go to networking events, traditional networking events, I mean, you're going to be around desperate people. They're not the people that are going to be hiring you. They're also looking for jobs. So that will negate your efforts. So you have to have, if that's your goal, you have to be in the right room, right?
Yeah, and then I couldn't agree more. So just before we move on, that's a great point. Let me just mention a couple things on that, that I love the concept, be in the right room. Because as Jim Rohn said famously, you know, your income will be the average of the five people you spend most of your time with. And that doesn't just apply to income. It applies to health and fitness, your relationships.
Yes.
Everything in life will be the average of the five people you spend the most of your time with. What I've found that just really kind of rocketed my life forward is joining mastermind groups. You know, of course, you know, if you don't have the money, if you're kind of starting out in life, it's a little harder, right, to be in the right room. But one of the ways to shortcut the whole thing is to just pay to be in the right room, you know? And a lot of these different mastermind groups that I've joined over the years, I mean, the price is high. But that's part of the qualifier, you know? It really changes the complexion of the people you're networking with when the price just alone, the amount of money you spend to join is a qualifier, whether it be a conference or a mastermind group or even high-end travel experiences, anything like that, right?
Yeah, I think those all matter. The one really interesting thing about being in masterminds, though, that I found, which is a huge downside that people don't talk about, is that if you are in that room, and the people that form that group, if they bring in another expert, mm-hmm. I've found in being a part of them and talking to other people, you are at a distinct disadvantage when you try to build a relationship with that expert, because you're seen as someone who's paid entry and as lower level. And I've talked to people where this has happened, and your chances for them to help you are significantly less than if you met them some equal footing.
That's an interesting point. So if you met them, but I mean, they don't really necessarily, you know, when that expert comes in to maybe speak to the group, they don't necessarily know what you paid or how much you paid. I mean, if you go to a conference and meet them, but you paid for the conference too, right? I mean, like, what's the distinction there?
I think the distinction is that when you go in that room of small people at a conference, like, everyone's just a nameless face. I mean, you have to go up and start a conversation, and people don't really look at the pay for, because you're not paying them. In a mastermind, you're literally paying for them to be there in some form or fashion. Yeah. And it's a lot smaller. And I found that, like, when people meet in conferences or other places, their relationship evolves much differently. And I've had this conversation with a lot of people, and it's one of the frustrations, I think, that comes out of that many times from that actually happening. And what I mean by that is the expert actually helping you, you contacting them, and, you know, it obviously needs to be reciprocal in the value that you give and get, but it's much more reticent to open up their network and help.
Yeah, sure. Okay, interesting. So the only issue there is that, you know, would you even meet them in the first place? And it's a little more work to do that. You know, if it's at a conference, for example, you know, they're bombarded with, you know, whenever the speaker's finished, if they're the speaker, which they aren't necessarily the speaker, but when they're finished talking, you know, there's 30 people standing around them trying to get their ear, right? Or get a book signing or a picture or whatever. And so it's a little harder, right? So there's a question of quality of access versus access at all. That's a good point, though. Okay, go ahead.
But the way you get around that, and I've done this, is you can contact many of these people ahead of time, and they don't have meetings and they want to be busy.
Right.
So they will often take meetings that they would not normally take because they're at the conference. And the other thing that I've done too is I have found people who are connectors and befriended them, and I've gone to shows with them, and they've introduced me to these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's many ways. The connectors are very, very helpful.
There are many ways around it, mm-hmm. right? And I've found that those relationships, when I meet them at that event, it's peer to peer.
Yeah.
I realize that, like, people may think, well, I'm going to conference paying, but people there don't think about it because there's 500 or 1,000 people, and you're ingenious enough to find a way around the system.
Right, right. Yeah, okay. Okay, good. Good. Go ahead. What else were you going to say about, you know, the social capital other than the meeting the people?
I think one of the keys part of it, and one of the things I don't really go into huge in depth in the book, but I think that you need to do some deep self-inquiry and some looking inside of yourself and some self-awareness around your own blind spots, patterns that don't serve you, really belief systems that are challenging for you, because what you are on the inside will be reflected in the external world. Mm-hmm. So if you aren't in a good place internally, you will not be able to build relationships with other people, because those impediments will stop you from doing it. And it's something that people really don't talk about in these books, but change comes from the inside out, and relationships do as well. If you hate yourself, people aren't going to love you, right? That's an extreme example, but it really happens a lot, right? So you can't just try to go in these situations and act as if, right? I mean, it doesn't really work. People can smell out that you're being fake or that you're trying really hard. Mm-hmm. And that comes from a lot of things that internally that are going on, right? Being attached to the outcomes, wanting to get something from everyone around you. So all these things happen, and they will short circuit everything that you do. So that's really the first place to start, is figuring out the challenges that are going inside, even before you go out and do all the stuff.
Right. So that's a deep psychological kind of thing. I mean, any thought on, like, how to do that you want to share? Or, I mean, you know, that's a journey, right?
That's a psychological journey. I mean, I think you can find coaches to help you do part of that process. I think probably the fastest way of doing it. I mean, there are courses you can take that can help you on part of that journey. You know, in certain circumstances, people may need to go to a therapist if there's issues that are lingering that are significant, right? I think you have to use whatever means is necessary, because if you try to do tricks or tips that people teach you and are inauthentic, it will backfire.
Yeah, definitely.
And you'll waste all your time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It'll cost you more money and time than you'll ever dream possible. And you'll be very unsuccessful. And you'll feel all alone when you go through it because you'll know you're a fraud.
Yeah, sure. Well, being authentic is certainly important in life. So, you know, very, very good point. But beyond the scope of this short episode, to dive into that one too deeply, talk about some of the other points in your book, though, about social leadership and just the general GPS concept, too.
Right. So I think there's a lot of things that when you think about building relationships, the building blocks of building it are really building rapport, likability, and trust. And you have to do that within a very short period of time of meeting someone or meeting a group of people in order to create any urgency for them to connect with you in the future. And if you don't hit all three of them, your chances are very slim that anything will happen out of it. But if you do, you will get a lot of yeses from people. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why people who practice this get way better at it and people who don't won't. And people aren't really naturals at this. Even if they think that they are, they will miss on part of it. Mm-hmm. And so these are all learned behaviors. Even if you're an introvert or have social anxiety, you can be significantly better than an extrovert. It's got nothing to do with your social ability today. These are all learned behaviors. It's not something that holds you back.
Okay, good, good. So can you give us some examples of like what that behavior looks like so listeners can model it? Like it's part of the conversation, right? So, you know, like what would be an example of what someone would say? And I think you mentioned something about creating urgency for that person to get in touch with you or something like that?
Yeah, it is. And so what you do that by creating an experience for that individual that is unlike other ones that they've had. And so they walk away feeling like they've known you all their life, right? Everyone's had an experience where you met someone and you just clicked, right? You felt like you've known that person for 100 years, even though you've only known them for 5 or 10 minutes, right? I mean, we've all had that experience at some point in our life. And I think what people don't do is you can recreate that on an ongoing basis, right? And one of the ways with rapport that you can do that is in the questions that you ask someone. And one of the ways I like to ask people questions that emotionally connects with them is I like to ask them questions like, so what are you passionate about in your life right now, right? What are you most excited about? Or in a business setting, like that maybe you have something that you're doing the same thing in. So what projects are you working on that you're, you know, passionate or excited about, right? I mean, that can help you start to bridge some ground, right, on something that they may be working on or doing, right? And if you don't know anything about the subject, you can just bridge to a topic by saying, well, look, oh, running. Man, I don't really run, but my friend, you know, my friend Bill and Bob, they love to run marathons and, you know, they love doing it for X, Y, and Z reasons, or you might not even know that, but you can say, well, why do you love to run, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you've never run before, you can go down that road and tree off that way if they mention something and you feel lost about it, right? But the key is you'll gain rapport because you'll be talking about a common experience that you can relate to in some way, right? Either you're doing it or just relating to it. And they'll be talking about the thing that they're most passionate about and they care about. And that creates an emotional bond in a very short period of time. And it's not about the conversation, it's about selling yourself. It's about asking questions and having other people talk and give you information.
Right. Yeah. Good. Good stuff. Okay. What else should we know?
Well, I think, you know, the easiest way to build likability for people, and they often overlook this, is just listening. Right? I mean, I think that one of the things that happens and why we don't build likability is that when you start looking around the room or you start thinking about other things that are going on, people notice that because nonverbal communication is, you know, 90-93% of communication. So they just can tell that you're uninterested and don't care. And it's immediate turnoff, right? So that's the second thing. And I say the third way is to build trust. I mean, the quickest way you can build trust with someone is to show that you care. I mean, that is the fastest way to do it. And how you show that you care can be a myriad of things to someone, right? You can offer to help them. You can share a contact, introduce them with. You can suggest a book. You can even buy them a drink. You can introduce them to another person at the event or where you're at, or just introduce them to a complete stranger you don't even know, which works all the time as well, right? But whatever that is, you will gain trust with that person. And the key thing is that if you lead with giving, you put yourself in rarefied air, because the only people that typically lead with giving with individuals are people in their inner circle or people they're close to. So psychologically, you put yourself in that inner circle just by doing the act, and people feel a lot closer to you than they would normally do.
Yeah, good. Good advice. Okay. So when it comes to all of the techniques that you teach, what would be kind of the way to sort of share an elevator pitch on this, you know, an elevator speech on what it's all about, to sort of sum it up for us?
Well, I mean, I think just like marketing and business, it's about volume at some level, because you have to get the volume, you have to funnel the volume somewhere, and you have to sift through them as fast as possible and figure out the best people that are suited for you. And at some level, it's a numbers game, because otherwise what happens is you settle for what's in front of you because you don't have anything else to relate to. I mean, if you're playing basketball and you have a bunch of high school basketball players around you, you're probably going to think that these are great people. But if you have NBA, if LeBron James is next to you, you're going to really get elevated in the way that you think about basketball, right? It's about who you're hanging around with. Well, to find those people are not easy. And so you have to get out there and meet people at high quality events. I tell people to go to charity, nonprofits, meaning museums, symphony, opera, because that's where social movers and shakers go, and people of influence and people who are doing things, and also people who are givers. And then you just have to get their contact information and then invite them to do something. And typically I funnel the people into groups. I don't necessarily do things one-on-one with people, because there's a higher value if I invite them to a group scenario, because that way, if my relationship doesn't do anything or doesn't move beyond it, if I introduce them with other people where it does, I get a huge social capital. And then they'll do the same thing to me. And then your network can spider and grow very quickly and evolve over time, which is also important, because the other challenge is that in 5 years from now, who knows what the people around you are going to be doing. You might be leaping ahead, growing and putting all this into your life, and other people may be opting out, right? And you might have relationships that are 70-30. Well, if you don't have these skill sets and you don't have some sort of network to start meeting new people in a process, you're going to be left in a really bad place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Very good point. Tips on those group activities that you talk about. You know, we sort of started this interview kind of on this concept of having that one sort of like targeted person that's maybe the, you know, like the speaker, we use that example, but it's a lot more than that. And so kind of back to that mastermind discussion, it's not just the person who's invited in, it's the other people in the group.
Of course.
So, you know, there's a lot of benefit to that, you know, and I don't know, maybe I sort of couched that in kind of a limited way from the beginning of our talk today, but when we look at this group thing, I totally agree with you that that's a good idea. So instead of saying to that person, hey, can I take you to lunch? Can I take you to dinner, whatever, breakfast? And that's a one-on-one thing. Inviting them to some sort of group thing where they have the chance to develop their social capital, right? And their social wealth. Any tips on what kind of things? I mean, really what you're saying is organize some activities and invite, you know, the key people that you want to be around.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's what I would do. I mean, I'd send an invite saying, hey, I'm gathering some, you know, great people together for an informal dinner or drinks, right? Because that tells them that you're not paying for it. And then saying it's at X, Y, and Z date, you know, at this place, you know, I need to get reservations, you know, is this something that you're interested in? Say something like that. And then they'll either say yes or no, right? And then you just send it out to a lot of people, and you'll end up getting a fair amount of people coming out and meeting people. And it's a way easier way to meet them and get to know them. The other thing about doing it in a group scenario that people don't talk about is the fact you can really get to know people a lot better, because they have to put their defenses down when they deal with multiple people at the same time. So you'll see how they socially handle themselves and how they treat other people. And that's a huge indicator of who they are.
Yeah.
Right. One-on-one, what people mistake is that people are excellent one-on-one because they can keep their defenses up. So you really don't know anyone, right? I mean, until you get them in a group scenario and you see how they handle themselves. So this is a quick way, right, of just doing it. And if you're an introvert or someone whose social anxiety is higher, this also helps you, because at that point, you don't need to go and flail around. You're the sort of guest of honor, and people are grateful that you set this up, because no one invites them to that stuff, right? I mean, I know a lot of people, and very few people do this, right? It's very small. We're talking, you know, tenths of a percentage, or probably hundredths do this. Mm-hmm. So it's not hard. There's no cost, and the benefit is massive. Mm-hmm. And you can also do another way, is just invite a bunch of people to another event you're going to as well, right? That may be good. And you'll have a very small percentage show up, but probably some will, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's all you really need. And then, you know, because remember, once you meet people, they have a network behind them that you can leverage and meet and go through their LinkedIn or Facebook and see people you want might meet and just ask them. And people will pretty much always introduce you to them, or tell you if they don't know them, then they might say that, but they'll at least do it if they have some interaction with them.
Right, right. So the answer is start your own mastermind group.
It really is, right? Yeah, yeah, or start them infrequently and get people together, and you can do this pretty easily with people. Right. And only you can just copy and paste the same message. You don't have to do anything. Maybe you write one line that's unique in there, but that's all, right? You don't have to do anything that's going to take you a lot of time, and just see who called you back, right? I mean, and like someone asked a question, well, you know, if you want eight people, you know, six to eight is a good thing to try to do, like informal brunch or dinner or lunch. I mean, you're probably going to have to try, you know, probably 10 to 20 people. We'll just keep trying until you get the numbers. The other side benefit of this is the law of reciprocity says that when you do something for someone else, people feel indebted and they feel like they need to pay it back. So what will happen is those people will invite you to other events. So pretty soon your social calendar will fill up with great opportunities, and you can meet a lot of people, and you'll be much better to sift through them and find the people that are suited for you either professionally or personally.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, we got to get Robert Cialdini on the show and talk to him. Yeah. And you know, you just reminded me of something. I used to, when I lived in Orange County, California, I used to have these dinner parties the first Monday of every month on Monday evening. You know, no one's busy on Monday evening, right? So I used to have these dinner parties, and they were just great fun, great networking. I hosted them at my house. You just reminded me, I got to start doing something like that again. So good stuff. Jason, where can people find out more about you and your book?
So they can go to my website. It's jasontreu.com, and that's jasontreu.com. And the other thing I came out with, I just did a TEDx speech, and I came up with a card game that people can use for team building or between their friends. So something like this would be ideal for, and it's on my website, or you can go to cardsagainstmundanity.com and download the game and the rules. And it's a bunch of great questions. And
Cards Against Mundanity? What is that? What does that mean?
Well, it's against mundane conversations.
Okay. I got it.
It's a takeoff on the Cards Against Humanity.
Right.
And that when people, I did research on this, and a famous researcher did something like this with just individuals, not in a group, and found that after 45 minutes of asking questions, people rated the relationship they just created, 30% of them, as closer than the closest relationship in their life.
Yeah.
So this game's extremely powerful. Yeah, so
good. And so people can just download the game at your
download
website?
Download the game and play it. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, good. Good
download
stuff.
Download and play it.
Jason Treu, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.